This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila.
And we are Swag Fat Chicks. And this is the forbidden episode.
This is the smoking allowed episode.
Yes. Well, we've decided we wanted to do an episode about cigars because cigars kind of go with food and drink.
Right.
You hear a lot about cigar dinners and what you should drink with one when you have one and that sort of thing. So first off, we want to say we're not going to debate the health stuff with anybody.
Nope.
You can look it up yourself, make those decisions yourself as a reasonable, well-informed adult.
Right. We can't tell you what you should and shouldn't do because you have to make that decision yourself.
Exactly.
We make our decisions based on the information that we have available, and when it comes down to it, every activity, even walking outside your door to go hiking, has risks.
Yes.
Personally, if you go to the cancer.org site, if you smoke one
less
cigar
than one a day,
or less than one a day,
mm-hmm.
then they can't definitively say that it will have an impact on your health.
Yes. There's just no research. They don't know. So, granted, if you're going to say, well, I'll smoke six a week, that'll put me at less than one a day. That's your decision if you're going to try to run the odds. Our personal opinion of it after reading a lot of research is that the one cigar that we have a week, if that, is not going to really hurt us.
Everything in moderation.
Exactly. And that's the stance we take on it.
When you drink wine, you're drinking alcohol, which is a poison to your body. But your body deal with that, and your body can repair the damage done.
Exactly.
You know?
And I think another reason we wanted to do this episode is because we do run into a lot of people who have bought into a lot of myths about cigars in general, and it would be nice just for us to sit down and give a basic primer and dispel some of that. And myth number one is that they're addictive like cigarettes. They're not.
No.
You don't inhale a cigar. If you are inhaling a cigar, and usually I'm all about do what you want, do what you like, whatever you feel like doing, that's your business. But if you're inhaling a cigar, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You should not be doing that. Not only is it incredibly bad for you at that point, but that's not how it's meant to be smoked. So for those who are wondering, we are recording outside on our balcony again right now, and it apparently had like a jet engine bus go by. You may have caught the tail end of it, but that would be myth number one. I've run into so many people who sit there and say, oh, you smoke cigars, are you addicted to them? Do you have to have them like every day?
They do have nicotine in them. The Latin name for the plant, the tobacco plant, is nicotina.
Yeah.
Named after
the scientists that found the nicotine in the plant, correct.
On the other hand, they don't have as many additives in it as cigarettes.
They don't have any.
I don't want to get into like a health debate, but when you look at it, you're not smoking through a fiberglass packed filter.
Yeah.
They are just leaves.
You're just not inhaling it, period.
Right.
And that alone removes the delivery system of the nicotine to your lungs. Because the way it goes, if you're not familiar with it, is if you inhale smoke from a cigarette, it's going into your lungs, the nicotine is going directly into your bloodstream with the oxygen, because that's how your body gets oxygen into your bloodstream. That's what makes it so addictive. It's the next best thing to that is pretty much injecting it, which would be very, very bad.
Yeah, for real.
So that's why those are so addictive. In this case, you're not inhaling it. All you're doing is for the taste.
Yeah.
And there's a very,
like smoking
very,
a pipe.
Yes, there's a very small amount that can be absorbed through the lining of your mouth, but it's nowhere enough to get you addicted. I mean, we'll literally go months without having a cigar, and I don't feel any effects.
No.
Just like it doesn't affect your wind like regular smoking does because you're not inhaling it.
You're not killing the little cilii in your lungs.
So that's myth number one. You shouldn't be inhaling. I think myth number two is that it can be a hideously expensive hobby.
It can be.
It can be.
But we're going to give you some tips on how to keep it so that it's an affordable luxury.
Exactly.
Again, this is something you don't do all the time. It's occasional. You enjoy it.
In fact, I'm going to make an argument to not do it all the time, simply based on the fact you won't appreciate it as much, because the smoke, you're inhaling something hot, or not inhaling, but you're taking into your mouth something that's a little bit hot, and over time, you will dull your taste buds.
Mm-hmm.
And where we've gone through spurts where maybe we've had a cigar binge, and we've had several cigars over the course of a couple of days, usually it's social things, when we're out with friends, or we're camping with people or something. And after a while, they don't taste as good because they can't taste all of the complexities in them.
Right. So and cigars are as complex as wine.
Yes.
There are different flavor notes, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes. So that's an argument to limit your usage so you can fully appreciate it. Because, yes, it doesn't have to be expensive, but that doesn't mean it's super cheap either. And you don't want to smoke something for the sake of smoking it, and then you don't really appreciate it. And later you said, oh, I wish I hadn't done that because I wanted to really taste it.
Right. Again, too much of a good thing.
Yes. And myth number three is only expensive cigars are good.
Big, huge mistake there.
Yes. So let's just jump in with a primer about them.
I would venture to say there is one more myth that I'd like to talk about,
mm-hmm.
and that's that Cubans are the best.
Yes, Cubans are not necessarily the best.
Cubans are good, but there is also crappy Cubans. as well as good Cubans.
Exactly.
And there is a lot of great cigars from the Dominican, mm-hmm. from different parts of South and Central America, mm-hmm. that are just as awesome as Cuban cigars, if not better.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a serious cigar smoker already, you're going to listen to a lot of what we say, maybe have disagree with it, and that's fine.
This is our opinion based on the facts that we have found.
And experience. These are things I've heard said to me from people who maybe only had a couple cigars in their life, usually when they're at a poker game or something like that.
Right.
So that's why we're making these general assumptions. But the basic types of cigars, Sheila, you're the brain on the sizes and everything. Go for it.
Well, the bigger the number would be the larger the ring gauge, so how big around it is. The smaller the number, the skinnier the cigar is. Cigars come anywhere from 3 inches to over 7.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different size things out there. I'll post some stuff.
Well, there's that foot-long monster that Spencer told us about.
Yeah.
It's meant to be either smoked by itself or cut in half and shared with a friend.
Yeah, there's lots of different shapes of cigars. This allows the cigar makers to make different flavors because they do use different amounts of the leaves when mm-hmm. they blend the cigar before it gets wrapped. So a Torpedo of one brand may taste a little bit different than the Robusto size of that brand.
So, for instance, the basic shapes and sizes, the words you'll hear all the time are Robusto, Churchill, Torpedo, and Perfecto.
Yeah.
I think those are the ones you hear in Lancero.
Yeah.
You'll hear those five all the times. A Torpedo means one end of it comes to that pointy taper.
Yep, and they need special rollers.
Yeah.
They have experienced people that specialize in being able to roll that point. It's not easy.
And that doesn't make it a better cigar, necessarily.
No,
it just,
it's just
a preference.
Different shape.
Some people really like having it come to a taper. They think it's easier to smoke. There are some people that go all the way up and chop the taper off when they cut it, so they don't have to deal with it. But it does require a better roller to be able to roll that. So there's a better chance if you have a Torpedo, it's not going to have any other flaws in the cigar. We'll cover the flaws, too. Don't worry.
Right.
And now, the other one, Churchill, there's a lot of speculation how the...
Mythology.
Yeah, how it got its name. I like the Nat Sherman stance the best. Nat Sherman is a long-standing tobacconist company in
New York City. The original Nat Sherman actually had a cart that he sold cigars, pipes, pipe tobacco, cigarettes. Did he sell newspapers and stuff, too?
I think so.
So he was like a newsstand cart. And then he eventually got his own
shop. Storefront and everything.
Yeah.
And it's in the
shop
heart
is,
of New York.
On Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, it's the Swanky District.
Yeah, he deliberately set up in the financial district, because that's the clientele that he wanted to cater to.
Well,
he's like, businessmen
the
have
shopping
the money.
District, really, But the myth on their website, and I like this one best because I'm a Nat Sherman fangirl anyway, is that Churchill himself was visiting in New York, and he was ill, and they had a Get Well Churchill sign in their window they put up when he was ill, and right underneath that was a certain size of cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they got the names as Churchills, because people thought they were Get Well Churchills. That, you know, buy a cigar, buy a Get Well Churchill cigar.
Yeah.
So that's where they say they got the name. Really, I think it's associated that he just smoked that size of cigar so often.
Yeah.
That it.
Because the Churchills
name
are bigger.
They are a bigger
cigar. Double Churchills?
Yes.
Which are monstrously huge.
And by bigger, we mean a longer, not necessarily wider.
Right.
Now, Robusto is another name you'll hear all the time. This is one that I think is our favorite size when we have a choice to pick. Robustos tend to be a little bit fatter and a little bit shorter than a Churchill.
Yeah.
So they're a shorter smoke. I like them because you get partway down a cigar, or a good way down the cigar, and it usually turns harsh on you because of all the stuff built up as it smokes. So you don't always smoke it all the way down to the teeny tiny little end. So why get the big cigar when it's going to build up even sooner, to me?
Right.
And I just don't have the attention span to smoke a cigar for an hour and a half.
Right. It's a nice, like, half-hour smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And, on the upside, they're usually the cheaper size.
Because they're smaller,
So
they it's a plus-plus.
Less tobacco, and they're an easy size to roll.
It caters to my attention span, and it's cheaper. But there are times I like some of the bigger ones, too. Now, the other one we mentioned was a Perfecto.
And the Perfecto is, it can be pointy at the top like a Torpedo or not.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it kind of comes down and it kind of flares out like a bell to various degrees. Sometimes it has a tiny little tip and you just light that and it burns up and then catches the rest of it. It spreads very slowly and catches the rest of the cigar. Sometimes it's cut open at the end. So those are the kinds of things you're going to run into. Also, there's the Lancero, which is...
And not quite as long as a Churchill, but they're a little bit skinnier, a little bit longer than a Robusto, and they're definitely a quick smoke.
Yeah.
The thickness of the cigar makes a difference too, because the thicker it is, the more the rollers can put into the cigar, which means the more complex the blend can be.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that skinny cigars aren't good, and fat cigars are always good. It just gives them more wiggle room.
Yeah.
But I've had some great cigars that haven't had a lot of complexity in it, and that's fine, and they were still fat cigars.
Right.
But the Lanceros, you look at those, you know they're not going to be as... I keep using the word complex, and I feel bad, but they're not going to have as complex a flavor.
They're not going to be as deep.
As something
the flavor
like
profile
the
isn't going to be as deep.
Yes. Again, this is just give you a, throw out a couple terms that you walk into a tobacconist and you don't get totally overwhelmed. Now, some makers, cigar makers, like to get cute, and they come up with special names for the sizes.
Right.
And there's a hundred of them out there. Like Diesel, who's the fellow that did the Diesel blends?
Oh, Rocky Patel.
Rocky Patel. They used to be really bad with, they come up with cute names for the different sizes of the cigars. I remember the Diesel, the original blend, had that issue too. You have to look at the actual dimensions of the cigar if you're ordering it online, or if you're at the store, just actually look at it and pick it up, or
right.
what have you for that. Next up, color. That's the next basic thing you need to know. Size.
So the shade of the wrapper is going to determine
a lot of the flavor
and a lot of the strength of the cigar. You can have a very flavorful cigar, but have it be a light smoke. You can have a one-note solid cigar and have it be very, very dark. The different wrapper shades will give you an idea of how strong the cigar is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the first would probably be the lightest, the Connecticut Shade wrapper.
Love Connecticut Shade wrappers.
They're usually sweeter, a little bit creamy, and how they're grown is... they have these big, huge shades that they have over top of the leaves. Because the leaves that grow in the shade are lighter, the ones that grow in the sun are darker.
And they actually originate in Connecticut, too, don't
they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then, moving along, you have just basically the regular dark coffee-colored wrapper. And if you go with different places, they usually have different flavor profiles. Like, things from Nicaragua are usually a little bit spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Things from the Dominican are usually pretty smooth. Then you go into the Maduro, which is processed a special way. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be super strong, but there are Maduros that are really strong out there.
It's a rule of thumb, and Maduro is going to be a pretty strong smoke, but there are exceptions
there
to that.
There are definitely always exceptions.
And I'm definitely going to talk about that one I had a couple weeks ago, because that was such a surprise, and it was so good.
Generally, the lighter color of the wrapper, the lighter the cigar is going to be. The darker it is, it's going to be like oily, it's going to have a stronger flavor, and it depends too on where it's grown. They have a terroir just like wines do.
Now, are Oscuros a Maduro they do something else to, or is that their own different type of...
That's their own different type. And there's the ones that are black.
Yeah. Like the Onyx, aren't those mostly Oscuro?
Yeah.
There's a brand out there called Onyx that I can't say I have a lot of love for. It's just not my taste. And they're just black as midnight, like jelly bean black. They're so
like black
dark.
Coffee black.
Yes. And they're definitely in your face. You like them.
Yeah.
Though.
It's like black diner coffee that's never seen a drop of cream even on the table near it.
And the coffee maker's never been washed the entire time the diner's been open. It's that dark kind of thing. Now, there's a couple other funky shades of wrapper out there, too. There's the green ones.
Oh, the Candelas?
Yes.
Those are treated a special way, so they keep their green color. They're dried in a specific manner instead of just being dried with a kiln, I think.
Yes.
Like everything else.
It doesn't mean the leaf's like green, like fresh. You're not smoking a freshly picked cigar or leaf or anything like that. That's just the shade of it. Now, I know I've had them. I don't remember the flavor profile on that. Do you?
They're kind of actually, they're very light.
Mm-hmm.
They're lighter than even a Connecticut shade, in my experience. And they do kind of have like a grassy note.
Okay.
Kind of like green tea.
Okay.
But not exactly like green tea.
It's the green tea of cigars. That would be great to put on the box.
Yeah.
And then there's also your favorites. The red ones.
The Rosados?
Yes.
Yeah. Rosados are usually spicy, and there's this one that I really used to love. I haven't really been able to find it around anymore. They're called La Estrella Cubana, or the Stars of Cuba, and it had a red wine-soaked Rosado wrapper. So when you lit it, it would have a puff of red smoke. And they were really good. They were nice and spicy and peppery.
So those are your basic shades or colors of cigars you'll see when you go into a cigar store. We hit the main ones. There's some other little finer distinctions you can make, but you can get by with just that and you'll be okay. We did forget to cover in the shapes and sizes. Also the crazy, the ones that are wrapped together.
Oh, the culebras?
Yes. And she said, how do you say that again?
Culebra.
Culebras. Those ones, you don't cut it and smoke all three of them together.
They're meant
three
to be
little cigars.
Either shared or smoked.
Yeah. They're like braided
individually.
They're braided together. They're really cool, but you should unbraid them and smoke them accordingly. I guess you could cut it and smoke it all at once, but we've always been told by various cigar authorities that you should unbraid it and then smoke it.
Yeah. The reason why they are braided together is because cigar rollers were allowed to take 3 a day from the factory, so they kind of had them all braided together, so they'd have like one little pack. They're like, oh look, this is one cigar, and now I'm going to have another cigar. I'll take another Culebra, so then they could bring home like 9 of them.
Nice.
Instead of just 3.
Hey man, whatever works. So we've covered size, we've covered shape. We've covered,
we should probably get into the flavors.
The colors. Yes, I said we should do the flavors next. That's the basic stuff. Then we'll start talking about the brands and everything.
Okay.
So, flavor-wise, again, we run into the same problem in life we always have. Sheila has this amazingly developed palate that picks out these undertones and overtones and a faint current running through it of this. And I smoke it and say, I taste coffee. I taste pretzels. This one tastes kind of nutty. So when her and I could smoke the exact same blended cigar, and it is a handmade product, so there can be variations from cigar to cigar. But we'll smoke the exact same cigar and get totally different tastes out of it. I'll let Sheila still steer the flavor train. Wee!
If you're going to pick out different flavors from a cigar, the best thing to do is to taste a lot of different things and to smell a lot of different things. If you can go into like a bulk store that has lots of spices, that is awesome, because a lot of what we taste is part of what we smell. So if I'm saying something has notes of cedar, I'm not saying it tastes like a tree. I'm saying that if cedar had a flavor, this is what it would be. And I'm not talking like hamster shavings. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like fresh cut cedar, or what the inside of a humidor smells like. You know, good quality cedar. When I talk about it tastes leathery, I'm not saying it tastes like a couch. I'm saying if leather had a flavor, this is what it would be. When you get that smell of nicely oiled, good quality leather, like a favorite jacket or a really nice piece of leather furniture, that's what it's personifying, I guess.
And what do you mean by creamy? Because I know you use that a lot.
Creamy is, it's both a taste and a texture. It's usually sweet, and usually the smoke that comes off is very, very thick and silky. That's what it is.
I've also heard that used in reference to Cuban cigars frequently, too. And it's something the only thing I've ever felt was a creamy tasting cigar is like a vanilla cigar, because that would be something, a flavor I would associate with creamy.
Right.
But I don't ever notice the creaminess everybody else talks about. I always feel like I'm missing out on something big. I must be defective.
Yeah, some of it is the texture. Mm-hmm. Like, usually it's a lighter cigar. It's usually a sweeter cigar. And it's the texture of the smoke. It's a very velvety, silky smoke, usually.
Now, spicy is another flavor note that she will probably use the rest of this episode. And I do taste that one.
Yeah. And spicy can be either individual spices, like clove, nutmeg, cinnamon even.
Mm-hmm.
They can get cinnamon flavors. It's not like they've even added it. It's just that's the way the leaves are blended. It can be pepper. Which is,
see, that's
like
what I usually,
black pepper.
I usually get a peppery taste. When you say something spicy, I'm smoking it and tasting a kind of peppery taste, and it's almost like good Italian hot sausage. You get that kind of burst to it.
Right.
So.
And then there's spicy, it's like zesty, you know? We're like, it's picante, you know?
No, my favorite description ever from Sheila was smoking a cigar once. She said, it tastes like outside.
And I was smoking that particular cigar. It was a Five Vegas Classic. As I smoked the cigar, I pictured myself at a campfire with crackling wood, cool air, you know, in like a flannel jacket, a nice crisp wind blowing through with crackly dry leaves skittering across the lawn as I'm listening to the sounds of the fire and the fresh air from being outside. So that's when I said it tasted like outside. That's what it tasted like to me, which I know is very fantastical. But hey,
meanwhile, I'm smoking.
You can't make this kind of stuff up.
I'm smoking the same cigar, and I'm just like, I don't know, it kind of tastes like maybe leathery to me, I don't know. But she's, you know, evoking these intricate pictures and imagery, and I don't get it. But at least I can get some of those flavors out of it.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect example of what one person tells you it tastes like, it may not taste that way to you, and that's all right. Again, smoke what you like.
Right. You've had things taste like pretzel before, where it's kind of toasty and salty.
That's a common flavor I get all the time out of cigars. And it's usually out of the medium blend kind of cigars, not really heavy, not like a Maduro color. They kind of taste like, you know how you eat a baked pretzel. Not like a soft pretzel, but a crunchy, almost like the little niblets. Not the honey pretzels either, but
like
maybe
sour
bar pretzels. Or bar pretzels.
Yeah.
And after you swallow, you have that aftertaste where it's not yeasty, but it tastes kind of toasty and dark. That's the taste I get a lot of times out of cigars. In fact, that's my main line. I will probably like a cigar if I get that taste out of it. If I don't get that taste and there's not another flavor that replaces it, then I probably won't like it. So that's my gauge. I like sweeter cigars, which would be maybe a hint of the pretzel with a little bit of sweetness to it. And I also like the spicy cigars, which are like what you said, where I don't necessarily have the full pretzel taste there, but I get that, like, punch of pepper in it.
Yeah.
And I've had the Rosados with you before, and I have to admit there's something else in there that I can't pick out, but it tastes good.
Yeah.
So, and coffee is another one.
Coffee is definitely
one. Coffee's a common flavor you'll hear thrown around in regards to cigars. And, oh, I love it when you get a good coffee kind of... It doesn't mean it's coffee-flavored. You just get a taste, like, after you swallow a mouthful of good coffee... And you get that aftertaste to it, that's what you taste after you blow the smoke out of your mouth. So, really good. And that's usually when I taste things after I get rid of the smoke in my mouth. I don't usually taste it while it's in there. It's
or
more of an aftertaste.
Or are you drawing the smoke into your mouth?
Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to totally edit the heck out of this episode because we keep pausing.
Puff
and then glug. So what to drink with cigars? Another hot topic.
Right. You can go on, there's lots of websites and forums and stuff. I generally stay away from internet forums because they seem to bring out the worst in people, just from my personal experience.
So, in other words, you can go and look around, and there are people who are going to tell you they're an absolute authority and you have to do this and that, but we still subscribe to the do what you want, smoke what you want, drink what you like with it. If you find something that really works, go for it. The traditional things you hear all the time are scotch and cigars go great together. Cognac and cigars. They do go well together.
Yes, definitely. However, there's a lot of other different drinks that are very nicely suited to cigars.
Wine and cigars. Red wine goes very well with some cigars.
If you want non-alcoholic, there's root beer. It's amazing just because of the different herbs and stuff in it. It tastes
good. Cream sodas.
Birch beer.
Coffee.
Coffee is
good
excellent
coffee
with it.
Goes good with cigars. It's whatever you like. Personally, if I had to pick one thing to have with every cigar I'm going to smoke for the rest of my life, it would probably be a good root beer.
Me too.
I like the way it goes with it. I have to say my tendencies when I drink something with a cigar is to have something non-alcoholic. I just don't like
the mix. I mean, beer and cigars are a natural pair as well.
It does go well together, but I usually prefer not to have a beer or a scotch or anything else with it. I do it once in a while, but...
Some people just drink water.
Yeah.
Just so that they can really get the full taste of the cigars.
And we recommend drinking something because your mouth does get a little bit dry. And it is nice to have something to keep your whistle wet while you're enjoying your stick.
Because the best thing to do besides having a cigar is having a cigar with a friend.
It's a very social activity, but you can go with whatever you want on that. We do recommend root beer, and the better the root beer, the better off you are.
Right.
We did the
like
soda Stewart's episode. We've mentioned all the good brands, but Stewart's is a good one. That's what Sheila's drinking right now. I have a Diet A&W. We used to love the heck out of IBC root beer.
Yep.
In West
if
Virginia.
In the States.
That's one you can get at Walmart.
Dog and Suds.
If you can get your hands on that. Any of the little,
any
craft
of your favorite
ones.
Root beers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, check it out.
Saranac, Gales, all of those are really good. And if you want to get really gourmet about it, go in search of those elusive root beers or even make your own and try that with a cigar.
Definitely.
And that's great. The do-it-yourself cigar scene isn't really as...
It's out there, but it's not as big as the do-it-yourself brewing scene.
Yes. Or cheese-making scene or what have you. You can't
there
try and roll your own cigars.
Grow their own
leaves.
Tobacco.
Yeah.
And roll their own cigars.
That's few and far between, though.
Yeah, it's not very common.
It's a difficult hobby. I don't say I'd recommend it. I'm willing to be lazy and go spend money at a store and get them.
Right.
Now, the next basic thing you need to know is where to go to get your cigars.
Right.
In the States, and this is two separate topics, in the States, you can go almost anywhere and get a cigar. They sell them even in drugstores. Mm-hmm. And we don't mean Philly Blunts or White Owls or what have you with those. We should differentiate with those, though.
Right.
Those cigars... The Philly Blondes and the White Owls are usually made by machine, and they're usually made of something called short filler.
Yep.
Short filler's the leftover bits of the leaves. They're chopped up really small, not as fine
as... It's the trimmings from making the long filler cigars, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah. They're not as fine as cigarette tobacco, but it's still pretty short. It will burn very quickly. It'll feel kind of squishy when you feel the cigar.
Yeah.
It won't have nearly as complex a flavor because there's nothing in there blended. It's just all kind of thrown in, and it's either wrapped in a paper for some of those, or maybe if you're lucky, wrapped in a leaf.
Right.
The medium filler is trimmings that are a little bit bigger. They can do some blending with it. And you can get a mighty fine cigar that's a medium filler cigar. It's not going to be an amazing, oh my god, blow your socks off cigar, but...
It's a good cigar for at the campfire or
a yard cigar if you're going to mow the lawn and you want a cigar, or you're out fishing and you don't... You might drop it in the water, so you don't want to take a $15, $20 cigar with you. You know, there's that option, too. The long fillers are the traditional cigar. That's what
when you think of a cigar, that's what we're talking about.
If we mention cigar, we're usually talking about a long filler cigar. So drugstores in the States all sell short filler White Owls or Philly Blunts, and we know what people really do with those. They've gotten to the point where they just sell the wrappers. You don't even have to unroll it and take the stuff out and put your illicit substance in it anymore. But some drugstores in the States still have a small humidor where they stock some of the big boys. You can get smoke shops in the States that they're more like cigarette shops, but they also have maybe a wall-sized humidor or two.
Right.
Where they stock a reasonable selection, and then you get the true tobacco stores that sometimes online you see them referred to as brick and mortar because it's an actual physical location.
Or
B&M. And they have a great selection. Mm-hmm. So on when talking the stateside, I would recommend if you have a good B&M in your town, go hit it up and sample. They're great places to go to try something new, buy one cigar, and give it a shot. That way you're not committed to spending several $100 or $80 or $60 on a
box. Of course, buying a box there is going to be prohibitively expensive for most people. Mm-hmm. But totally support them. Mm-hmm. Go and pick up your pipe tobacco there. Go and get selections of cigars just to sample and try different things out. Or if you want a treat. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're just driving home and you're going to have some people over for a barbecue and you just want a couple of cigars, go and get some.
Or maybe they'll be running a special deal or a sampler pack or something. You get to know them, talk with them. Support your local shop, though, for sure.
Because we don't want to see those go away.
No, we don't. Now, some of the smoke shops, like the cigarette shops or whatever, they've gotten to be much better over the past few years.
Yeah.
There's a chain in Pennsylvania and West Virginia.
It's called Smoker Friendly.
Yes.
And sometimes there'll be a Cigar Express Smoker Friendly, which means they'll actually have like a walk-in humidor. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of really good ones on 79.
Or like there's Route 19.
Route 19, sorry. You're right. Just north of Cranberry is a great one. And there's another one that's... Is it halfway to Erie?
No, there's one in Cranberry just outside of it. There's one closer to Pittsburgh, also on Route 19. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to Erie, there's another smoker-friendly that's really good, too.
Yeah.
So those are ones that they're hit or miss. Not all smoker-friendlies do stock decent cigars. But we've run into quite a few that we've hit a point, if we're in the States and we see them, we do stop and check.
They're a reputable name.
Yes.
They are a chain, but at least you know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. They're going to at least stock a lot of the big brands.
Yes. But they're not quite the same as a true brick and mortar. Those are usually privately owned, not a chain. They've got one or two guys that run it, and they usually really know their stuff.
Our favorite one in the States is probably the one that's in Swickley.
Elf Humidor.
Elf Humidor.
Yes.
Mad props to them. Very cool.
Killer store.
It's owned by this fellow and his wife, and his dad used to be there all the time, but I think his dad has since passed away. Because the last couple times we went in there, we didn't see him.
Or he just might not have been there. I don't know.
Maybe. I wish the old fellow well.
Yes. Great store, too.
Yeah. Amazing customer service.
Killer selection.
If you get the wife in there, she knows just as much as her husband.
Yes. And they're a great source for pipe materials, for tobacco and pipes. And that's a totally different show we'll do someday.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of them. They have a good selection. They're a little pricey, but it's worth it if you're going in just to pick up a couple things for sure.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in the States, you also have available to you a wide variety of places to mail order from.
Yeah, online sellers.
Yes.
A couple of those would be Famous Smoke.
JR's and Cigars International. Those
Cigars
are the three biggest, I think,
and they are
right
all in
now.
Pennsylvania, aren't they?
I think JR's in...
it might be in the
Jersey
South.
Or
Jersey?
Maryland.
Okay.
I think he's a little bit further
but
east.
But Famous Smoke and Cigars International are actually, like, just across the way from each other.
Practically.
They're in the eastern Pennsylvania.
Yes. Now, these places have really nice websites. You can order cigars at a good discount. They do offer decent sampler packs, so if you don't have a cigar store in your hometown, you can go on there, and so they give good flavor notes in their descriptions. You can pick and choose a few things and get them sent to you. The variety packs that Cigars International, I'm biased, I like CI the best for states for their ordering. But
they have nice catalogs, too.
They have great catalogs, but they've got great variety packs. He puts together some really nice stuff. They have this mega store.
It's amazing.
Outside of Bethlehem.
The entire store is a humidor.
It's the biggest one we've ever been in.
Yeah, and then aside from the fact that the entire store is a humidor, and there's like wall-to-wall humidors, there's also a smoking lounge where you can buy something,
go
sit up there
it.
On the big leather couch and enjoy your purchase.
Their staff is so friendly. Mm-hmm. We've only been there a few times, but every time we've been there, they're so nice. They're you're buying something for your husband. We don't run into that with them. They're also so awesome and honest and helpful, and they aren't pushy about buying things, so we really like them a lot.
To be fair, female cigar smokers are in the drastic minority, but the women that like cigars really like them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why there should be any prejudice there.
Yes. So, and those are the big ones down there. Cigars International and Famous also have an auction site. I think JR's has one as well. Mm-hmm. Well, where it's not like eBay where a bunch of different sellers are putting things up. It's the retailer has their overstock, and they put it up on these auction sites to try to move it at a discount price. You can get some really good deals there. If nothing else, you're probably going to get it for less than retail.
Right.
If you're into being patient and you're looking for a good
bargain, researching products,
it's a good
selection.
Like
finding out how much it costs retail,
mm-hmm.
then you can look at, okay, well, let's check this out. Let's try that out, you know.
Yes, it's a good deal. Now, if you're going to buy a bunch of those cigars, you need someplace to put them. You can go with a traditional humidor. They have the cute little desk models that hold about 25.
That's about 50 bucks.
Yes. Well, actually, if you get them on a CI now, you get them for 20-25. The little
okay.
ones, they've
Fair
dropped
enough.
A lot in price. The bigger ones obviously go up in price to where you're paying several
$100.
Yeah, it's
like
$1,000.
Yeah, it looks like Victorian furniture humidor.
Yes, it's gorgeous. We are, as you can probably tell, cheap.
And inventive.
And inventive. And we saw a long time ago online the idea of making a cooler door.
Basically, all a humidor is to keep your cigars at the right humidity, because these leaves are usually grown in the tropics. They like to be at a certain humidity, which is around anywhere between 65% and 70% humidity.
Ideal is 68%, but you can drop a percent up or down on it.
I haven't
noticed
anything.
It's not going to hurt anything. Below 65, they'll get dry. Over 70, they'll be kind of wet and squishy and not nearly as good. They can
and
get moldy.
You can, yeah, exactly.
So you
want to
watch
scary.
That. Yeah, and you want to also regulate the temperature, too, so
yeah,
that's another reason to keep them in something like a humidor
so
to stabilize
them. So
basically,
a humidor is something that's airtight that will hold humidity in. So, with that being in mind, you can take any airtight container and make it into a humidor.
Yep. You can use Tupperware, you can use those under-the-bed things, you can use giant Rubbermaid bins if they have a good tight seal on them. We like coolers because coolers have a great seal. They're very cheap. You can get them anywhere. $30 cooler is going to hold a pile of cigars for you.
Yeah.
You do want to save your cedar from your boxes when you order a box, or get some empty boxes from a dealer. They usually sell them for anywhere from $1 to $5 a box.
Yep.
Or you could even go, if you have a good lumber yard, go and get a couple of little cedar boards and put them in there. The cedar helps stabilize the humidity.
Yep, the cedar will absorb the moisture if it's too humid in there, and it will release moisture if it's too dry in there. So it's a good stabilizing effect. Like you said, you can just grab like 4 or 5 boxes and just put them in there. You can even break them up. They don't have to be necessarily intact.
Mm-hmm.
Have a couple extra pieces in there, and then the boxes of cigars that are in there will help regulate the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need a source for your humidity. There's all different kinds of products out there. You can go anything from, let's see, if you get the unscented cat litter crystals that are clear, very important that they're unscented because you don't want your cigars to smell like cat litter.
It smells fresh and tasty.
Exactly.
No, it doesn't.
And you dampen those will slowly release moisture. There are little jars that are humidjars that do the exact same thing. There's the pillows. There's beads that you just soak them in water and put them in there.
Now, if you're not going to use one of these products that are slowly going to release the moisture, you'll have to go with a mix of, what's the name of the chemical? Propyl...
something.
Glycinol 50, or something?
50-50 mix?
It's half of this one chemical and half water, and you can put that on anything. Florist foam,
yeah.
The wet foam is good for that. You can pour that on there, and it'll slowly release it out, and it'll stabilize the humidity in it.
That's the other thing you can do is take, like, a Tupperware sandwich container and put the wet forest foam in that's been soaked in the 50-50 solution and punch a bunch of holes in the top, and that'll release the humidity.
To me, that's almost too fussy. Back in the bad old days, you had to do that. Now they've got all these great products out there. You can get the little jar of the beads. It does up to 100 cigars usually.
It's great for
50 to 100. It's great for a cooler. You can put one or two of those in your cooler. If you have a bunch of cigars in there, you notice the humidity's just not staying up. Buy a second jar, throw it in.
Yeah.
And just, you have to put water in it every once in a while to make sure that the crystals are moist, and you're good to go. You don't have to do anything else. You would want to something to read the humidity and temperature in there.
Yeah, hygrometer.
Hygrometer. I recommend the digital ones. You can get them for a song almost anywhere.
I got mine off eBay.
Yeah.
It was in, like, the weather section.
Yes.
It's like a hygrometer and thermometer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's digital.
Yeah. You can just whip it in there, change the battery once a year, you're good to go.
Mm.
And then, if you're fussy about appearances, you can get one of the cute little desktop humidors that holds 25 or 50, and you can move what you smoke regularly into there and just refill it. So
yeah.
You have your giant storage that you put in the closet or whatever, and then you have your cute little desk one. Because what you spend for, like, even go crazy and get a $100 cooler compared to $100 worth of humidor, that's no
yeah.
contest in the
storage capacity. If you spend $100
capacity.
On a cooler, that'd be like one of the giant ones that can hold an elk from Cabela's.
Yeah. The storage capacity of that versus a $100 humidor, which maybe holds 50 to 75 cigars, there's no contest. Granted, they're pretty, but if you're going to start buying in quantity, that is a concern you need to have.
Yeah, because you need to store them properly, otherwise they won't stay.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, aging cigars. There's a really strong cigar. You can age that and it'll mellow out. Be careful you don't age your cigars to nothing, especially if it's a lighter cigar, lighter flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You can age that to so that it'll just be like smoking air. You don't
yeah.
want that.
Not delicious at all. At that point, it's just a waste.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be very sad.
Well, you could have smoked it like a year or two earlier and actually enjoyed it.
Now, since we're on the topics of gear, lighters are another big concern. And this is where you'll have people get into some very heated debates. Some people are adamant you must light it with a wooden match. Some people say you can light it off of anything. Some people will use lighters, but they don't want to use a Zippo because they say they can taste the Zippo fluid. Some people will only use the jet fuel lighters, you know, the ones, the butane lighters.
Yeah.
It's whatever you really want to use. Wooden matches are good. If you're going to be a match person, kitchen matches rock because they're a little bit bigger than a regular match.
Yeah.
So you have enough match. Maybe you only need two to light your cigar. You can use even just a Bic lighter. That's fine.
Right.
We're fans
I've
of...
I've used a Zippo before.
Yeah.
As long as you let it burn for a second, that pretty much gets rid of the fumes.
Yes. I love using the Zippo. I love using the jet fuel lighters. The butane lighters are really good for cigars.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever you like. If you have a tendency to... You have a lighter that you like using, just use that. If you find it doesn't light how you like it, try some other lighters. You can get
right.
the little butane ones for $5 at any gas station.
Right. Okay, so you got your cigar. You're ready to go. You want to cut it. Just enough so that the cap comes off of it. You don't want to, like, chop it savagely,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want to, like, cut it so little that you can't draw from it.
Yeah.
And then to light it, you want to toast the foot a little bit. So you want to have it about, like, half an inch above the flame.
Mm-hmm.
That'll release some of the oils. And then go ahead and light the cigar, and you want to try and get as even a light as possible so it'll burn as even as possible.
If you're smoking one of the Monster ring gauge cigars, you may have to turn it some as you're lighting it. If
mm-hmm.
you're smoking a Lancero, you don't really have to worry about that as much. The cutters are another piece of gear you do need. It is necessary.
And there's different preferences, too.
You can spend as much or as little as you want. The disposable cutters are nice. You can... There's single-bladed and double-bladed. Disposables come in single and double-bladed. The double-bladed ones, I think, give you a slightly better cut. There's usually less tearing. They're usually a buck or two more. The single-bladed, they're good if you're worried about losing it or whatever, just because they're so cheap.
If you're taking it camping or whatever, you don't want to lose, like, your really good... Zicker that you bought for like $75.
Yes, you can do the disposable ones. We keep one in the glove compartment of the car.
In case you never find a great cigar shop.
Exactly. We keep a thing of wooden matches and a disposable cutter just so we have it if we need it.
We've even seen ceramic ones that
we
are pretty awesome.
We have a ceramic one. It's a single bladed, and we've had it for almost 10 years now, like 8 years, and the thing is as sharp as it was the day we bought it because doesn't dull because it's ceramic.
Like a ceramic knife.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't dull at all, but it's very fragile. Don't drop it.
Yes. It's one of our favorite cutters, though. There's a brand out there called Zicker, and it's spelled X-I-K-A-R. These are as good as
they're... Cadillac cutters.
Well, there's better or higher-priced cutters out there. You can get some really crazy-priced cutters, but the Zickers, for what they cost, are probably the best cutter you can buy. They run anywhere from $25 up to about $75. They're a double-bladed cutter, and they're perfect. If you're only ever going to buy one cutter, I would recommend getting a Zicker.
There's also punches.
But instead of cutting it, you can take a little punch. They sell cigar punches. And you just kind of twist it into the end of your cigar and then pull it out. And it cuts a little round hole in there. Those are really good for big ring gauge cigars.
Because the cutters are usually only so big, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you get one of the Monster 60 ring gauge ones, like the Inmenso,
mm-hmm.
then you might need to use a punch to actually get that.
The third kind of cutter that's out there is the V-cut.
Oh, yeah.
And this one, it looks like it's a regular cutter, but it has, like, a bent blade in it.
It's a V-shaped blade, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a V-shaped blade. It has an indention in the cutter, and you stick the end of your cigar in there, and you push the cutter, and it slices out a V-cut in your cigar. So it gives you more draw than a punch would, but it's not cutting the whole thing open like a regular cigar cutter. That's You seem to prefer those a lot.
I like them. It doesn't really actually cut a V out. Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose it does if you looked at the cigar across ways.
Yes.
It looks like it cuts like a strip or a furrow out of it.
A valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those are really nice, too. Those are a little harder to find.
I've only ever seen them in disposables.
We found one that wasn't a disposable, but it wasn't very big, and
it
wasn't
very
good.
And since it's going to get dull eventually, you might as well just go with the disposables if you prefer a V-cut.
Mm-hmm. Then there's... kind of covered all the gear.
The actual way to cut, like, a torpedo cigar. There's the regular, which you just cut across, and then I have no idea how it got named this, but there's the dick cut. I don't know what the deal is with the name of that, but basically, if you had the torpedo pointing up, you'd cut across it so that it was a diagonal cut, which is supposed to expose more of the leaf. I didn't see a difference. I've tried it. I just think it's someone made up the story to go with it.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. If you prefer it, go to town.
Yeah, again.
But I never saw a difference.
Again, the mantra is the same as it is with wine and cheese. Do what you like.
Yep.
If you like it, run with it. Anything else with gear that we need to toss out? That's all you really need.
Pretty
you
much,
you can get
yeah.
a cute little travel case, which if you're going to do a lot of traveling, that's nice. You can take a couple cigars
vacation.
With you.
Yeah.
yeah. And those run anywhere from $15 to $50, depending on the size and the quality you get. They're nice.
There's like crush-proof ones mm-hmm. and waterproof ones.
But to be fair, you could just get a Ziploc bag, a freezer bag, whip one of the little Huma pillows in there, and throw a couple cigars in and put them in some place in your suitcase where they're not going to get crushed or in your briefcase, and you're good to go. It's, as much as you want to spend or as little as you want to spend. You can break the bank, get really nice stuff, or you can just use whatever. It's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah.
So now we should probably talk about the flip side of the retail scene and the Canadian side, since we're up here now.
Right.
Now, the nice part about being in Canada is we can get Cuban cigars.
Woo!
And Cubans are delicious. They're not the end-all and be-all, but they
are
delicious.
But there are some very nice ones.
But the downside to being in Canada is cigars are expensive, almost twice as much.
Right.
We can't order them online like we can in the States and get the discount. You can order online, I think, but it's usually within province,
yeah.
and the prices are just as high, so you're really better off just to support your local shop. We've been very fortunate this year. A really good shop opened up in Oshawa.
Victory Cigars.
It's on Woo! Route 2, King Street. It's going away from Toronto. It's between, just past downtown Oshawa, right before Ritson. It's
if
right next to Tim Hortons.
If you go past Ritson, mm-hmm. you've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And it's owned by Kevin and Julian, and it's in a spa building.
And it's a nice store, very run by very nice, very friendly people, very helpful.
They are super
They
cool.
know their stuff. They stock good variety. I mean,
they've
do got
little events.
Little events, yes.
If you're in the Durham area, get on their mailing list. Go down and visit them.
Mm-hmm. Or their Facebook.
Yep, give them your email address so you can get the newsletters whenever they do cigar dinners and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or they do different pipe events, too.
Cigar retailers that we've run into in Canada tend to be a little bit smaller than the ones in the States, simply because there's more regulation, there's more restrictions on them, so they mm-hmm. don't do the massive mega stores like you see in the States. But that being said, they have probably one of the nicest little shops we've seen in Canada.
Yeah, definitely.
They've really done a good job, and they haven't even been open a full year, I don't think, yet.
Yeah.
So that's really saying something for them. The only other place that we've really liked to buy cigars to go in and stop at in Canada so far has actually been out by the casino
yeah.
in Orillia. There's a nice, on the reservation, there's a really nice smoke shop there, too.
It's just past the casino if you continue going north.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the right-hand side. Is it what? Is it 2 kilometers from the casino?
Not even 2 kilometers, maybe.
Yeah. The name of it escapes me right now, but it's a very upstanding,
yeah.
great shop. The people there are fairly knowledgeable, and they have a good selection. They have a walk-in humidor.
Yes, they have they have a gift shop attached to it, and they're really friendly, too. But Durham region, I really recommend Victory.
Definitely.
And we've actually tried a few things at Victory that we didn't even have in the States before.
Yeah.
Either we just never bothered to try it, or we never saw it before.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones you've gotten turned on to lately is the Te Amo, the Mexican
yeah.
cigar. Which, Mexico's not known for doing great cigars, but those are really good.
These ones are really great. Yeah, I like them.
And I've recently gotten turned on to a Macanudo. Now, we're going to probably start talking about types of cigars and brands of cigars, so just jump into it. Macanudo's one of the big boys. It's one of the well-known
it's
cigar
like
brands.
It's like the Budweiser of cigars.
Yeah.
Well, I'd venture to say.
I won't say that, because I consider Budweiser poor quality, and Macanudos are not poor quality.
But they're very ubiquitous.
It's the Coca-Cola. It's like Coca-Cola or RC or a Pepsi of cigars. It's in
yeah.
that kind of category. It's a well-known cigar, well-established, usually good quality, but every Macanudo I've ever had has been a very light wrapper. I've never seen a darker wrappered one until recently, and they've all tasted like almost nothing to me.
Yeah, and if you go on the cigar boards, they'll get trashed.
Yeah.
And they're not poor quality cigars.
No.
Like you said, they just...
They don't have a lot of flavor.
They're not very flavorful. They're very, very light. They're a crowd-pleaser cigar.
Exactly.
If you wanted to, like, bring cigars for all of your poker buddies, you'd be pretty safe to bring that if they're not cigar smokers.
Yes. So we stopped in at Victory the one day, and Kevin's son, that is his son, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was there, minding the store.
Is it Christopher?
I think his name's Christopher. And we were talking and chatting. And I mentioned something about Macanudos. And he said, oh, have you tried the Maduro Macanudo? I said, what?
They make a Maduro?
That's like asking, have you tried the tofu steak to me? What? So next time we were in, I picked up a Maduro Macanudo. And they are pricey, but it was really good.
You seemed really happy with it.
That was just one that really shocked me. That was exciting because the store turned me on to something that I really like. It'll be my treat cigar to get once in a while. Mm. And it was delicious. So, again, really nice people. So let's jump into the brands.
Okay.
What's your favorite?
Oh.
Or do we want to cover the big boys and then cover favorites?
I think I have one more point to make before I start getting into brands. Mm-hmm. How I first got into cigars was when you could still smoke in the pubs in Canada.
Seconds.
I used to go down and get seconds.
Yeah.
It's a cigar from a big brand. It's just, it didn't make the cut. There was a wrinkle in the wrapper. Maybe that batch was inconsistent because it was Jose's first day. Now,
a less experienced roller could
be making
those. A less
experienced roller,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with them. It's just, they can't charge
regular price.
Because there's some sort of thing with it. Doesn't mean it's not smokable, just means it's discount. And hey, if you're just going to go to the bar, there's nothing wrong with a discount cigar.
Exactly.
So that's what I used to get, is the seconds from Mike's downtown, which is a big newspaper shop.
Mm-hmm.
That was just what I had to add. So you'll find seconds from, like,
everyone.
Everyone, pretty
much.
All
the big makers do them now.
Well, why throw them away? You know,
yeah.
They're perfectly smokable. It's just they're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to charge their price, they have to be perfect.
Yeah, and they're usually not banded. And some, they come in bundles, usually. They don't come in a box. They'll bundle them together and wrap them together. Cigars International, JR's, they all sell a good variety of seconds. You can pick up all kinds of neat cigars to try and keep them around. If you have friends who like to smoke cigars, but they don't really like cigars that much, they're good ones to give out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't want to give somebody a $20 cigar and they feel bad because they don't really appreciate it as much. But they really like the $2 cigar, go for it.
Yeah.
For price ranges, in the States, since they're a lot cheaper, between $2 to $5 is pretty much a cheap cigar.
Yeah.
Anything over $5 to about $10
that's
is
like a
moderate-priced
cigar,
and usually a pretty good stick. After $10 and up, that's when you get
the
pricey stuff. And you're going
to
go up to cigars that are $40, $50 a piece in the States. The more you pay, it's up to you whether or not you think the quality's worth it. I know we had two types of cigars we usually bought. We usually bought the $2 to $5 ones just to keep around for regular, you know, we're going to the bar, whatever kind of cigars. And then we'd get $10 to $15 cigars for special treats.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Canada, you pretty much have to double that. You can't expect to pay those prices up here, and literally, it's not even, it'll be any good. You just can't pay it, period. They don't exist.
The cheap cigars are between $4 and $5.
Yes, for what we used to pay $2 to $3 for in the States, it's now $5 to $7. For what we used to pay $5 in the States for, it's now $10 to $15.
Yeah.
But we accept that. That's the price
we
pay for living up here. That's
fine.
It's an occasional treat. It's not meant to be an all-the-time thing. It's not like we're paying $15 a gallon for milk. So
right.
I'm okay with that. Not even equivalent. I just wanted to throw out some basic price ranges for you. The big boys, that you will see these all over the place, and it's because they've been around forever.
They're very well
even established. Even up to 100 years plus for some of them. They're good quality, and they tend to be a little pricier, are the Macanudos, Hoyo de Monterrey, Romeo y Julieta's.
Punch. Which is probably my favorite.
Oh, what are those really, really expensive ones? Monte Cristo's.
Yeah.
You're going to run into those ones everywhere you go. They're usually a little
CAO.
Bit more. CAO. I don't put those up there at the big boys. They're kind of a newer one, I think, really.
Well, they're pretty ubiquitous, though.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of like the rock star cigars.
Yeah, they're very not the much, classic brand.
Yeah,
you know?
They're very much into marketing,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. They have a lot of different lines. And there's a lot of, like, famous people that wear CAO gear,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it's not like, when I think, to draw an equivalency to it, when I think those other brands, I think of your big old car manufacturers, GM, Ford, those guys.
So CAO would be like the Orange County Choppers?
I was going to say CAO would be like the Saturns.
Yeah.
But a higher quality. You know, Saturns were a new kind of car that came out in the 80s, and they made a good car and everything. They're a newer type of thing. I would put them in there. Or, like you said, the Orange County Choppers, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
No, Orange County Choppers would be Drew Estate.
That's true.
So, but we're going to get into those guys in a few minutes. So those are your classic ones. Onyx is more like a CAO kind. You'll see Onyx a lot, especially in the States. They seem to be really well stocked down there. Usually a darker cigar, very heavy, very oily. It's going to hit you in the face.
Right. Well, what I can say, too, this is an interesting point of trivia. Usually with the really well-established ones, like you were saying, Punch, Romeo y Julieta, Monte Cristo, and Hoyo de Monterrey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we're forgetting a bunch.
Yeah.
You'll see on the band, usually they'll have a bunch of, like, yellow discs. Those represent awards that they've won. And usually the older the cigar brand, like too with Henry Clay, mm-hmm. which is like the redheaded stepchild of cigars. It's considered to be like a drugstore cigar, but it's still long filler. It's been around for a long time.
It's actually pretty good. Yeah.
I liked it. Actually, I've had a couple of them and I liked it. Mm-hmm. But they've fallen into the it's your dad's cigar trap, mm-hmm. like your dad's brand of beer, right?
Mm-hmm. Same thing. But if somebody gives you one of those cigars that we mentioned, the biggies, you're going to probably have a good cigar. I know for a while I ran into a problem where I had Romeo y Julietas that were plugged all the time, but I haven't run into that in ages now.
I think that's
now.
Just you.
I think it was just me. I think I have to find
I have
that one
cigar
box.
From the same box, and it would be fine.
Yeah. You suck. So, of the big boy brands, my favorite's probably Romeo y Julietas.
Mine's
Sheila's
probably Punch.
Probably the Punches. And it's just a personal preference. They all taste good. They all have different blends and different strengths and different varieties within them. There was that one that Romeo y Julieta did a long time ago. It was the Anniversary Edition. We had a couple of those. Mm. And they had like a black band on it instead of the classic red band.
Yeah.
And they were great cigars.
We actually
cigars.
Got those for one of our anniversaries to
yes,
have.
Yes, it was. And they were great cigars. And that's just an example that even within those house brands, they will have a huge variety for you to explore. So kind of get to know them. Now, some of the newer manufacturers, there was a cigar boom in the 90s. And
yeah.
you had all of these manufacturers come out of nowhere. And a lot of them faded away. Some have stuck around. Some were around even before the 90s, but they got big then, too.
I think that's when you had Cigar Aficionado, the magazine, mm-hmm. had a lot of stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you, on their cover, that's when they had Arnold Schwarzenegger on the cover. They had Demi Moore on the cover.
Rush
Madonna,
Limbaugh, all
Rush
those
Limbaugh.
People, yeah.
Lots of famous people were seen smoking cigars in the 90s, which led to the boom.
Yeah, and you don't have to agree with his politics, but you have to admit Rush Limbaugh is a huge cigar fan.
Yeah.
And he does try to give back
if he
to
knows
them.
Anything
he gives
he
them
probably,
publicity yeah.
he probably knows cigars
yeah
I don't necessarily agree with
his
what
politics.
He says on the radio but what he says on a about a cigar I will sit back and I will listen
oh yeah
and
he
I will
sits
take
down
his
to cigar commentary I'm going to listen very closely
exactly
because he knows what he's talking about so some of these not necessarily newer brands but the younger brands you could call them or the ones that became more popular later on would be CAO
Mm-hmm.
They do, they have some incredible lines. The Brasilias?
Yeah, Brasilias. That's another, it's like a spicy cigar.
It's a spicy cigar.
And then yours is your favorite is the Italia. It's very earthy.
Yeah, it's very earthy with a little bit of spice to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the CAO Black.
Yeah.
Which is one of their classic lines. Really good. Have we had a white?
No.
No, we never did try the white. Gold, CAO Gold's really good.
CAO Gold is like a really, it's a crowd pleaser cigar.
Yeah. It's a little milder,
it's
very
milder,
toasty to me.
Sweet. A little bit creamy. Just throw those words back out.
I taste pretzels. So
Tracy tastes pretzels. I taste all those other things.
Yes. So those are really good. They do other types of different blends and things. The only thing I've ever had from them I didn't like was they did a special blend, and they got the licensing for it, and they marketed it as a Soprano cigar from The Sopranos, the show. And I was so pumped to get this. I thought, oh, this is mm-hmm. going to be great. Because at that time, everything I had had from CAO, I adored. It was so good. And it was, I think, a $12 or $15 cigar in the States. So I was paying a good bit for that cigar. Up here, it probably was $20 or $25 if they had them.
Yeah.
And it just was disappointing because it was an okay cigar, but it didn't have the flavor development like I thought it was going to have. When you smoke a cigar, how it tastes when you first light it is going to change as you smoke it down a lot of the time.
It's called flavor development.
Yes, and I was expecting that to happen with this, and it just tasted like an average Maduro all the way down.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed.
And didn't you say it was a little bit kind
harsh?
Of gutless?
Yeah.
Like, when I picture Tony Soprano smoking a cigar, he's not going to have like a knock-your-socks-off cigar, but he's going to be smoking a good, solid, lots
yes.
of flavor very luxurious
yes.
cigar. If I'm picturing the kind of cigar that Tony Soprano is going to be smoking,
mm-hmm.
and it was just not that.
No, it wasn't.
It was like what he would give to like the Capos when they came over. Or
yes,
something.
It just wasn't as good. But everything else we've ever had from them is excellent. They do a line of flavored cigars, and flavored cigars get a bad rap because some manufacturers have used flavorings to cover poor quality tobacco.
Right.
But
so the reputation early on was deserved.
Yes.
However,
and people mock you for smoking them. Oh, you can't smoke a real cigar. You're smoking that vanilla thing. However, there are really good flavored cigars out there. The CAO line is an example of that.
Yeah.
The one flavor in particular, Eileen's Dream, is an Irish cream flavored cigar.
Mm, very
one
nice.
Of the best I've ever had. It's
and they
really
come
good.
In tins of 10, or you can get the big regular size cigars.
Mm-hmm. And they have almost a Lancero sized one that's tubed, too.
Yeah.
Then you can just get that and throw that in your bag if you're going someplace. You don't have to worry about it being crushed, which is the nice thing about the tubes when you get a cigar like that.
The rest of them have kind of whimsical names that don't really describe the flavor.
Belly
like
Vanilla is the only one. Moon Trance, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're really good. If you enjoy a flavored cigar, check them out.
And there's nothing wrong with flavored cigars.
Mm-hmm.
Life's too short to only go with one thing. Exactly. Go out there and try a bunch of stuff. Now speaking of flavored cigars,
there's another blender, manufacturer, whatever you want to call them out there, Drew Estates. The fellow who owns the company, Jonathan Drew, we don't know how he makes his cigars. It's a company secret. He does something with herbs and infusion, and they spend a lot of time in a sealed room with leaves and things absorbing the
scents. From what I've heard, it's like a pallet of cigars sitting next to like a pallet of like vanilla beans.
Yeah, and other things.
And other different things to infuse the cigar with the flavor rather than actually adding it to the tobacco.
And they're eye-catching. The boxes are usually colorfully designed. The marketing is really neat. The flavors are wacky. He does really weird combinations. He does really weird sizes. He does all kinds of gimmicky things, but it works. Mm. And he does regular cigars, too. The one blend that Sheila really likes is the... They did the regular, and then they did the leather patch. La Via Habana. And it's a regular
blend.
Which
is like the Cuban life.
It's non-flavored. The regular La Via Habanas were medium filler.
Yeah.
And it's one of our favorite medium filler cigars.
They were really cheap, too. You could get a box of them for like $20.
It was like closer to 30, I think.
But they were
still
pretty awesome.
Yes. And then they did a higher quality blend of La Via Habana, and they called it Leather Patch. And that was a long filler cigar that had a similar flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
We really like the Acid line, which is his line of the really wacky flavored cigars.
Yeah.
There's one in particular that he does that it has a neat shape. It's flat.
Yeah.
It's not even a quarter inch thick by about, what do you think, 3/4 inch wide.
Yeah.
It's a flat square cigar, and it's called Waif.
Yeah.
And it just...
The square cigars are called box pressed,
mm-hmm.
and that just means that they've been shoved into a box altogether while they're still fresh, and they take on a squarish mm-hmm. shape, which is kind of neat to hold.
Yes.
You know, they don't roll around.
It's eye-catching. It makes people say, hey, what do you have there? That's all. But the Waifs taste really good. They're short smokes. They're only 4 or 5 inches long. It's a 15-20 minute cigar, and they're pretty reasonably priced. It's anywhere from $3 to $5 for one, depending where you get it and how lucky you are to get it.
Then there's like the ultra huge Waif, the deep dish.
Yes, the deep dish is pretty much like they took
it's
three
like five
Waifs
of them
together.
Stuck together.
Oh, yeah, but the deep dish has a very similar flavor note to it. Delicious. Juicy Lucy's are really good too.
Yeah.
A huge blend. That's one that you can go try one of each. And they do sell a nice sampler pack. It's like a tin of them with a good variety in it. And you can try it. We do recommend, though.
There goes that bus again.
No. Jet engine bus. We do recommend, if you are going to become an aficionado of Drew Estate cigars, you may want to segregate them from the rest of your cigar collection because they will infuse the rest of your humidor.
Yeah, because of the way they're made. That flavor can infuse into cigars that are nearby that are not Drew Estate cigars.
Yes. And there is an interesting story about those, too. Our friends, Jamie and Daisy. Daisy likes to smoke cigars. Jamie wasn't too fond of it until she had some Waifs. And she said, oh, these are great. This is all I want to smoke. And we're like, okay. If
Daisy,
that's what
course,
you want to smoke, we're
I totally
happy.
Understand. She's like, I'll get as many of those for you as you want, as long as I can smoke mine.
Yes. So we went to a cigar barbecue with a famous smoke, Sheila and I, and I took an empty box of Waifs with me to get Jonathan Drew to sign it, and I had to run the man down in the parking lot before he left. I'm like, wait, don't go, with a paint marker, and he signed the box to Jamie.
Yeah.
And I explained to him, like, you don't understand, our friend's allowed to smoke cigars because her girlfriend likes these.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But he's a really nice guy. He was very patient with me as I ran the poor boy down, or poor man down, so... The other brands that are like that out there, I'm totally drawing a blank now.
I can't think of any.
I know. There's just been, or Rocky Patel.
Yeah, Rocky Patel hasn't been around for a while, but he's pretty solid.
Yeah, good cigars there, good blends. He does some interesting things. I would give anything he does a try.
Arganese,
excellent cigars.
They
another
have lots
blend.
Of different kinds, though. He'll make different blends, like 3 or 4 different kinds of blends of Connecticut Shade.
Mm-hmm.
No, 3 or 4 different kinds of blends of Maduro, and then have different sizes for each.
And he does a lot of the barber pole ones, too.
Yeah,
where
that are like, it's called, I can't remember what the Spanish name for it is, but it means that it's two wrappers,
mm-hmm.
and it's got like, it looks like a barber pole.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's got like a light wrapper and a dark wrapper.
It's really
so
neat
it's
just to look at, and his are really good. Oh, there's another one I wanted to mention, Gurkhas.
Oh, yeah.
It's another somewhat newer brand out there.
Pretty Those famous, though.
Pretty famous, getting expensive, very good cigars. Grey Cliffs, I would say, are actually one of the big boys, and those get very expensive. Grey Cliffs are the
Grey
ones
Cliffs
you're
and
spending.
Monte Cristos are very expensive.
You're looking at $75 for maybe 3 cigars, if you're lucky, 4
yeah.
cigars. So, pricey cigars, delicious, though. And there's just a whole, the list goes on and on and on. It's like wine.
Well,
there's
then vintners
out there. There's so many different cigar makers out there.
Then you get older companies that might have went defunct, and then they get bought up by a bigger company and gets re-blended and re-released. for example, like Five Vegas, mm-hmm. they went under and Cigars International bought them, and they're like their house cigar.
And they're really good.
Yeah.
They're excellent. We had the Five Vegas Golds.
They're really
good.
They're
fantastic.
The Five Vegas Classic, again, mm-hmm. tried that. They have the Miami, which is a bit on the spicy side, mm-hmm. which is cool.
And then there was the one brand that, one of the things the guy who runs CI does is he goes out and buys these runs that are finished, that are sitting in a warehouse that nobody else wants, and he'll sell them at a deep discount through his store. Mm-hmm. One was called Maxim de Paris.
Yeah.
And when he originally got these were the end of it. And you could see in the catalog how they were running out of them, because it started out with all the sizes available, and eventually ended up with just one size available.
Yeah, and they were actually originally blended for a restaurant in New York.
Yes.
And that was, like, the restaurant's house cigar that they would have available for you to purchase if you wanted a cigar after your meal.
Mm-hmm.
But as smoking fell out of fashion, they kind of fell out of fashion, too. So
what
he
were
bought
expensive
a bunch of
cigars
them.
Were being sold for a dollar or two a stick. And I believe they have, since they have them now, I think they got the licensing for
yep.
it, or they bought the brand itself.
They had two different sizes that were always available. It mm-hmm. was, like, the Robusto and the Torpedo.
Yes.
That you could always get. And he's kind of like,
these are selling well. Let's make them again.
Yeah, exactly. You don't really have to worry about them running out now, because I've got them. So mm-hmm. keep buying them, people.
And he also did a run called Legends, mm-hmm. where he goes to these cigar makers, and he says, I want you to make me the best cigar you can make for $5 a stick.
Yeah.
Go. And he's gotten a bunch of the
want.
Big boys to do it, though. He's gotten yeah. Grey Cliff to do one. He's gotten
Puros Indios.
Puros Indios, another good manufacturer.
Armando Reyes.
Drew Estates. I even think CAO did one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gotten a lot of people in on it, and they did just this one blend, one size, for his store and his catalog, mm. and they're great cigars, and
yeah.
you get
you
something
can pick
different.
Up, like, a sampler pack. You can get, like, the Legends pack. Check that out, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of different ones.
JR's does a generic blend, too, that's unbanded, and they're all supposed to be really good, and they're mm-hmm. the type that if you let them age a little bit, they get really, really good. I can't remember the name of it, though.
Yeah.
That's just another example of a house brand that's out there.
Famous Smokes also has a really good Nicaraguan house brand. They have the Nicaraguan and they have the Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
And those are both really good.
Yes.
So you don't have to pay an arm and a leg.
Yes.
Definitely.
And these are all state ones. If you either have to go visit in the United States or have a nice friend that will buy them for you and give them to you when you visit kind of thing. Up here in Canada, you're mostly going to be getting really brand name stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like buying alcohol up here. You go to the LCBO and we don't have the really nasty
vodka.
They
don't have the crazy Ivan's Rot Gut.
The same thing.
It's,
you go...
The lowest you can get is, like, Smirnoff.
Mm-hmm. And we even see some of the crazy... We're starting to see some of the crazier limited stuff up here that's just random, like the Gorilla Fingers you had.
Yeah, that was pretty nuts.
Yeah.
At Victory, they had these ones. They were called Gorilla Fingers, and they were fat, short, and really, really oily, and I really liked them. And, of course, now they're gone.
Yes. But these are just some of the things. We're starting to get that up here now, too, just like the Biker's Choice, which mm-hmm. I would equate that to being something like a CI house brand, almost.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's just like a little brand that's out there that's affordable. It's like $5 a stick, $6
yeah.
a stick, and it's good. So anything else you want to add on here? What is your favorite?
I think I said if I could only smoke one, it would probably be Punch. Because Punch is, I've never had a bad one, and they're on the stronger end, which is what I like.
Mm-hmm.
The logo is pretty cool. It's like one of those little Punch marionettes.
Yeah. I love Romeo Iglesias. I adore Drew Estates. I have to admit, I love the Legends blend that Drew Estate did for CI. It's really good. One of my favorites. But if I could only have one cigar at all, or one maker, it would have to be Nat Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
They do two particular blends that I really like, two particular lines. One's the Host line, which is very mild and very sweet,
mm.
and it's delicious. And then if I want something a little bit heartier, they do the Metropolitan line, and it's a darker wrapper, a little bit toastier, a little bit darker flavor. It has more of a coffee tone to it.
They're really
me.
Good.
All of those are my favorite, and they're getting harder to find, too.
They are. So. I don't know if Nat Sherman's going to be changing businesses or what, but...
I think it's just less the distributor. They don't distribute with the same channels, maybe. Because they kind of keep it all in-house.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's very hard, I think, to become a Nat Sherman distributor.
Yeah. I think they're picky. But that's okay, because they make good cigars and good pipe tobacco, so I'm willing to be patient.
Their pipe tobacco is amazing, but that is another show.
Yes. Anything else you want to add about cigars? I hope this is a good primer for people who don't know anything about it or have been a little bit curious about it. It's something fun. It's definitely an adult pleasure. If you're under 18, do not try to buy them. Do not try to get somebody to buy them for you. Wait until you're old enough to try them.
Yeah.
And then go out with somebody who knows what they're doing and buy one and smoke it and enjoy it.
Everything in moderation?
Everything in moderation. Nothing wrong with one a week or two a month or something like that.
Exactly.
So, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we are Spy Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Five Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.